One of the favorite books of the Bible that I enjoy studying more than any other is the book of Genesis. And part of the reason that I like to study the book of Genesis is it's very confusing. If you read it, there's just gaps in the story. Like, for instance, one of the big questions, you know the story of Adam and Eve. We hear a little bit of it today. Adam and Eve, you know, have a couple of children, right? Do you remember? Cain and Abel, right? And what happens with them? Do you remember? Well, they get in a fight, right? One of them dies, and you have one left. And in the next part of the Bible, there's a whole lot of more people. Where did they come from? Think about it. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, one goes, and then there's a whole lot of people. It's stuff like that that makes studying Genesis or trying to dig a little deeper into it so interesting. Because there's, more often than not, they don't tell the whole story. There's another part of the story that there's actually kind of two creation stories in Genesis. The first creation story starts by telling how the sky and everything is made. And when it comes to humanity, it says God created them male and female. God created them in his image. He created them. And that's the end of the story. And then he takes the day off. In the other story, we get a much more elaborate story of what happens between Adam and Eve, and that's where this particular story comes from. And part of it is that God creates all the animals, and Adam is wandering the garden, right? And this is perfectly fitting because we have blessing of the animals this afternoon. But what does Adam do? Well, he names them, right? He goes through and he gives all of them names, and he figures out where everything is, and he calls the animals by certain names, and then he tries to kind of find companionship, and it's not really there. How many of you have a dog or a cat or some other pet, or have had one? Right? Have you ever talked to your dog or cat? You know, had logical conversations with them? No, look, don't go to the bathroom in the house. Go to the bathroom outside in the grass. It's really simple, right? They don't really talk back. They can be wonderful. They can be wonderful companions. They can be helpful. They can be warm and all that kind of stuff. But in the long run, it's not the same as talking to some other person. And so Adam's in the garden, and God says it's not good to be alone. When I read this text, I read the news article about the woman who's crossed the Antarctic. Have you read that? There was a woman who skied across the Antarctic by herself. It's quite a daring feat when you think about it. It took her something like 60 days to go from one end to the other. And it was part of it's just an adventure challenge. She's also now the first woman to do this. And so it was kind of interesting. But part of the story, she says, I never felt so alone as I did when the plane dropped me off and I saw it disappear. And she said, I felt so alone that after a couple of weeks, I kept smelling fish and chips. And I had to remind myself by squeezing my hands and feeling the cold that I wasn't in England, and all of the fish and chip shops that I saw everywhere were figments of my mind because I was alone and in the cold and not around other people. And she described that difficult journey that was going on as she passed from place to place of that feeling of utter loneliness. There was no one else around. No one else to see. No sign of humanity whatsoever. And so in the story, God says, it's not good to be alone, and he creates humanity. He gives the gift of another, of companionship in the story. Now jump forward to the gospel. This is one of my least favorite texts to preach on. Partly because it's hard to preach on this because all of us in this room know someone who's been divorced or might be going through divorce, or we might, in fact, have experienced divorce ourselves. My family is really good at it. I'd tell you the numbers, but maybe that's too much. But there's divorce all around. And part of why it's kind of hard to preach is because the divorce that Jesus is talking about is not the same as our society's divorce. Let me say a little bit more about that. In the culture, particularly in Moses' time and in others, to get a divorce didn't require any judge, didn't require any legal protection, didn't require any, really anything. It was simply, usually at the man's decision. If he wanted to be divorced, he would simply declare it, and that was it. And so what happens if you're divorced is you are cast out of the household. In other words, the woman might be cast out completely away from the household, along with her children, and left to be homeless, and left out in the outer darkness, so to speak. It's a very different kind of thing. And so when we dig a little deeper into this particular scripture, and you think about all the other scripture around it, what is Jesus trying to get at? Well, he says, the disciples say, is it okay to do this? And this is, we're in a series of testing Jesus, remember? Is it okay to do this? Is it okay to do that? He says, is it okay to be divorced? And he says, what did Moses say? Well, Moses said you can write it. He says, because of your hardness of heart, Moses gave you permission to do this. Because of your hardness of heart. Whenever Jesus refers to hardness of heart in other places in the scriptures, he's referring to injustice. He's referring to that time when we cause others to be cast out. He's saying because of your hardness of heart, he had to give you that. But really, what Jesus then says is, be careful with your companions. Be careful with your relationships. Be careful not to enact injustice. Think about that for a minute. Look around you for just a minute to the people that are sitting next to you. These are the companions that God has given you at this time. These are the companions that you're with right now. These are the people who are sitting next to you, and they are a gift from God. Did you know that? Now look again. And say to yourself, this person is a gift from God. We often don't think that, but this is really in the story of Genesis. When we hear this, God doesn't want us to be alone. God wants us to have companions and to care and to cherish those relationships. The gospel is kind of interesting because it goes from that story about marriage and adultery and all that kind of stuff and divorce, and then we have the disciples pushing children away. Isn't it kind of puzzling how it leaps from one to the other? Pushing children away, and Jesus says, stop! Let them come. If any of you push the children away, you've got it all wrong. Let them receive the kingdom because they are receiving it truly. They are receiving it truly. Grace and love. Grace and love is what Jesus lifts up and says, let them come to the kingdom. Jesus knows our failures. He knows the difficulties of our relationships and the difficulties of our companionships. He knows how we often fail in those relationships that we have, and yet that grace is still there. That we are all to be received into God's kingdom when we want it. I want you to think about this week the relationships in your life. All of the relationships. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you, I bet, have a conflicted relationship somewhere in your life? Anybody? Somewhere, maybe with a sibling, with a parent, spouse, a child, grandchild, friend, a neighbor, coworker, boss. There are conflicted relationships. There are difficulties within our own lives in which we have challenges. It might be difficult to even look at them and think that somehow they might be a gift from God. And yet we're called to care for them in the best way that we can. I think a lot about that as I journey in my own life, about restoring relationships that are broken and about being willing to ask for healing. But I find time and time again, when I'm willing to really look at another person and see them as a gift from God, that my attitude changes. When I really see that they might be that child that Jesus speaks about that's running to God, and that even through our friendship, that might be a place that we get a little closer. It changes how I think. So maybe it's to be willing to take that risk in your life this week, to look at the relationships and the companionships that you have, and to be willing to enter them again with grace. It doesn't mean it all works out in 30 minutes like on TV. It may take years of work. And yet, isn't that what God is calling us to do? I don't think we really want to find ourselves alone in the middle of the Antarctic. I think we really want to find ourselves surrounded by the gifts of companionship that God has given us in our life. Amen.